All people are
when you obey God's word
that was built by slaves, and I watch my daughters.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
This.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Loving This podcast. This one is absurd. I had my friend Carrie over to talk. And when she walked in, she seemed a little, I don't know, it was daytime Carrie. Sometimes there's a little bit more serious than like party Carrie. So I was like, I just felt like she wanted to loose up a little bit. And I was like, here's a vape pen, Carrie, little weed. And so this one, it got away from us, but I laughed really hard. And you know, I thought, why not share this with all of the Loving This podcast listeners? Because I know you like, you like the bizarre. So here it is. Here's me and my friend Carrie smoking weed, having a good time, talking about this.
Heading over to the Gungers, doing drugs. Typical mom stuff.
Typical mom stuff. You get the kids packed up. Don't vape before the kids.
Don't vape before the kids.
Before the kids are at school. I mean,
you might make a sloppy
unless
PB&J.
You're going to Uber them.
This is a weird...
It feels stuffed up, doesn't it?
Yeah, like it's this... Which one? That's what she said. She said?
Keep it as close.
Do you say that's what he said or she said? What's the joke?
Was it a penis in the joke?
I just want to know who's asking for it. By the time I stop doing this, I'll have had so much trying to make it work.
Yeah, it's a little stuffed up.
Kind of like me. You know what I got? Flonase. Have you ever used that stuff?
I think so. You're stuffed up?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I think I just have a nasal voice and I'm trying to see if Flonase will correct it. So to see if there's any like effect.
So you're not having difficulty breathing? You're just listening to the timbre of your voice?
Well, you know, it's like feels tight when I talk, but maybe that's just my voice. So maybe I just have to accept that.
Hmm.
But we'll see if like, you know, Flonase has any corrective properties.
Okay, so this podcast is called Loving This.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good way we could start talking about it.
Okay.
We've got these voices.
Yeah.
You want your voice to be less pinched.
Mm-hmm.
So you take Flonase. Do you suffer by taking Flonase? Would you be happier to not worry about taking Flonase?
Well, I'm going to be completely transparent here.
Okay. This is my friend Carrie, by the way.
Hi.
And she came over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the middle of the day. And we just brought out the weed pen.
Yeah.
Just because
it's Wednesday.
What happened? It's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us are like potheads.
No.
But it's Wednesday. She's waking. She's a responsible mother, business owner.
Keep going.
Headband wearer.
That's new.
Artiste. Musical extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Knowing the constrictions that some of us musicians bring to music and thinking of things like music theory or chords or harmonies or
any skills whatsoever.
No, that's the thing. You have skills. We have these jam sessions.
Yes.
And she just instinctively,
if you insert a piece of that right now, you're gonna let them all down big time. This build-up is really good though.
I might have a voice memo on my phone. Let's see.
Oh,
here you go, listeners. Look at that magic of editing. We're still in this exact same moment.
It's amazing. That was incredible. I'm glad you guys could all experience a little bit of that magic. Now, don't you musicians out there start feeling bad about yourself now that you've heard that.
Well, that's what Carrie's... I like Carrie a lot. She's been a friend. How long have we known each other? Almost 5 years? 4 years?
Yeah, since you moved here. 4 years.
Yeah. So almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids went to preschool together.
Mm-hmm.
And we became friends.
Love
and
school.
It was a love hippie school where the kids would learn to heal each other by rubbing their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not working?
It's not working.
I guess we'll see how the coherence of the conversation continues. Yeah, it really is. Look at that. There was a different...
Oh, wait. That one seemed to work a little bit more. Okay, let's just see what happens to me.
But so here's the deal. Let me explain this podcast to you.
I thought you were going to cheers me.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm out of Topo Chico.
To love school.
Oh, there's... To love school. And to loving this.
Yeah.
And to Flonase.
Yeah.
I had a podcast called This, and it was actually unsearchable, as you could imagine. Saying this podcast, you could search for that, and I think those terms were omitted from the search results.
Mm. Just why would everything pop up? Just too hard to find.
They can't
use the word this.
It couldn't be called this according to iTunes. It wouldn't show up. And even if you search my name, it wouldn't show up still.
Because that's an unacceptable word.
Michael Gunger?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. But, so I changed it. It's now called Loving This.
Hmm.
Which is fine. It's more words.
It's more words.
And loving.
They're kind words, though.
They're kind words.
Mm-hmm.
But on this podcast, I would talk about some real esoteric shit. Like, you know, like that we're not real things.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
But as you can also imagine, that's not super like mainstream shit.
I mean, not so much.
So this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to sell out.
You're trying to make it mainstream.
I'm trying to take the message of you're not a thing to the mainstream. So I thought I'd have my friend Carrie here and come smoke some weed and talk.
Yeah.
This will break us through.
This is going to put this love on the moment, on the map. Mm-hmm.
It is. I feel like now it's going to be a hit.
Yeah. This is your breakthrough episode. Wow. Did you catch that? Yeah.
But here's seriously what I want to maybe start doing sometimes with the podcast. To cast a bigger net, if you will, to have a larger front door into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Just to talk a little bit more practically about life and how we love this as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We figure out, you know, the Buddhist law of the first noble truth. Of Buddhism, life is suffering, and then we suffer from clinging on to our desires. And we have these lives where we desire so many things to be different than they are, and we suffer. So I thought I'd just start talking to people that I like and asking them about how they have loved this in their lives, like how they've maybe faced the world in a way that they didn't want it to be. And have you found moments where you're like making peace with what is, and how that affected you? You got any good stories for me, Carrie?
You know, when you start saying like, I did think about that rabbit hole earlier this morning. There's a reason why we all, writers, musicians, people, the way we all think about it, finding that secret portal, you know?
Into, this was before the weed pen?
This was before the weed pen, but now it's like 100 times better.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Because now you're getting into the rabbit
hole. Because now I can really visualize it. Like, oh, yeah, like that's where I go. I think everyone, we all want to go in there. We all want to go into that. You're not all of us, but us, people like us, love that idea. And we're all creative, so you want to get into that hole and see what's on the other side. Mm. I think like, you know, I remember when I met Hal, and
Hal's these are like partner. Those,
Hal's my husband's hunky man. When I met Hal, we were out in Morro Bay, And I was sitting there and I was looking out at the horizon of the water. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Hal and I was like, oh my God, do you ever just like stand here and like see the water like coming up? Like the water is coming up. Like water is going to come and it's just going to fill the whole bay. And then like, we're just like, what do you do? And I remember when I said that, he looked at me with like a really blank stare because it was young in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But my brain just wanted to create and like live out this scenario and like talk about it and say like, don't you feel that? Don't you see where that is? And he just looked at me with this like, he didn't know what I was talking about. And it's like in one of those moments, I'm just like, oh man, like, don't you want to get in the rabbit hole? Don't you want to like go and
so are you talking like eventually the ocean's going to overtake the, or are you saying like this afternoon the tide's
going
to come up?
Yeah, I was like looking at it going like, sometimes my brain just like starts telling me.
Oh, you just wanted the scenario.
Yeah, I just wanted the scenario.
I gotcha.
And I wanted him to roll in my scenario with me.
Gotcha, okay.
And like, he didn't want to like play. Uh-huh. He didn't want to play. And I remember being so bummed out, like, you're going to play with me. You're going to play with me. And I was like, oh my God, is this relationship doomed? Mm. Because we're not like, you know, seeing, we're not in the same, we don't have the capability to both like exit our reality and like play in this like playful moment. Mm-hmm. That didn't end up being the case, but it was in that moment, because Hal, we all know Hal, he's very, you know, he'll go anywhere with you. But in that moment,
all know Hal.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to this knows Hal.
Yeah. You guys have heard his podcast, I'm sure. Sure.
Hal is a good time.
He is a good time.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just thought it.
No, but I was thinking about like how when you want to dive into those pictures, those go into like your realities in your head, and then you realize that like you're sometimes alone in that space.
Yeah.
That is like for me sometimes like a really hard space because I like to play with people. And I remember that just thinking that sometimes your creative brain isn't gonna like mesh with somebody. So that wasn't the case with Hal, but I remember feeling that feeling, thinking, oh fuck, this is like one of those realities where I didn't want it to be that way. I wanted it to be able to like have that moment where you just like and you like mesh and like you roll. And then it didn't play out that way.
It just never did.
It never did in that moment. And then we went to like some restaurant and there was a little old lady sitting there with her old man husband. And they were sitting there doing that like silent sit where it's like the two old people who say nothing. And I was like, oh shit, that's going to be us. That's going to be us. Like, we're going to have nothing to say, but I'm going to marry you. This was before we were married. I'm going to marry you, but I'll eventually just be that lady that sits across from you and like says nothing.
Do you think those people are sad? Or maybe they just okay?
Well, I used to think they were sad because
Because you needed to talk.
Well, I think I needed to talk.
Yeah.
But now I don't really need to. I don't know. I've changed so many times. I've had so many, like, masky moments where, like, this is another thing. I'm going to go on a tangent now. But, like, the idea of who you think you are, holding on to that so tight that you can't ever, like, be who you are.
Come on now. Now you're talking in this podcast.
Meow. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had to let go of that like so many times. Like, okay, just because, you know, you want this, or this is what you think you are, this is what you're doing, it's not who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, letting go of that. Okay, I got to just let go of the idea that you're a person that needs that to happen in order
to... Do you have like a scenario that happened for you? Or
for when
that
what?
You can think of that example where you like thought you were supposed to be something? And then,
I've done this a lot.
Like a mask.
I've done this many times. I think, like, okay, growing up, I grew up in like a really like free house. Like, my parents were like not judgmental. They were like so loving. They're so kind. I've told you this, before. Like, they were just like, be you. They loved us being us. So even though I was just like a crazy goofball, like living in a tree outside of our house for like 3 hours, and my mom just like let me do it. She never even bothered me. I just sat out there in that little tree and meow, and she was like, great.
Meow.
yeah why not? She's like, wonderful, you know. And I was like crazy and weird, and she was like, you're terrific. My mom's not Carol Channing, by the way. But She was like, she loved us. You know what I mean? She just loved us. But I think like sometimes that, like, I love that support and like you, but I had like such a great self-confidence and I just, you know, lived in this like happy bubble land of our world. But I think you also sometimes think a little bit like too highly of yourself. Is that possible? Where you just had this like, oh, I can do anything. And, you know, and I really like felt that as a kid, like I can do anything I can, you know, and the things, you know, that I think I tried to do sometimes you're like, oh shit, well, I guess I can't do that. You know, like here's a great example. I thought like I was like this great actor, comedian, dancer, singer, performer. Like I thought I was like the shit. And they were having an audition at Disneyland. I grew up in Orange County, which that's a whole other reality. I was like, I'm going to go and audition for that shit. And I went down there and I smoked cigarettes. That was terrible, number one. You shouldn't smoke out there, but I smoked cigarettes. I was in my Converse tennis shoes, my little Aloha Hawaiian shorts and like a t-shirt. And I walked into this audition room and there was like, I don't know, hundreds of girls, but they brought you in packs of, you know, 10 or something like that. But I was in my Converse tennis shoes, my Aloha shorts, my t-shirt, and I was surrounded with like ballerina dancers who were like 5, 6, 7, and 8 and 1, 2, 3, 4, and 9. And I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, I thought I was really good. And like my parents told me I was great, you know, and that they loved me just the way I was. And I showed up and I was like, damn, like, I guess this isn't me. Shit. That's not me. All right.
And that like, made you feel like what?
I think it was just like, oh shit, like there's like this, I think I was maybe a little bit disappointed, but at the same time I was so like too cool for school. So I was like, yeah, fuck that.
Stupid ballerinas.
Stupid ballerinas, dumb Disneyland. Why would I even want to fucking dance here anyways?
I'm gonna like, damn the fucking mouse.
I'm gonna go get a pack of cigarettes and go hang out with my, you know what I mean? I grew up in Orange County, so there's like a whole culture there, like identical homes, ding ding ding. Like,
were you the only person who wasn't raised Christian in Orange County?
I know it's like the Bible Belt of California. It really is. Somebody once called it like the Iowa by the Sea or something.
We got distracted. So you felt you kind of had a defense mechanism come up where you're like, well, fuck that, they're not cool.
I don't need Disneyland, but shit, I'm not a good dancer also. P.S. I knew that, you know, I was like, damn, I can't do that. I'm not going to be Broadway. I better find a different avenue. And then I would. And I'd be like, that's cool because, you know, I'm going to be a filmmaker. I'm not going to be no Broadway star. I'm a filmmaker. That's what I am. And then I'm like, I'm moving out of this house. And then you go and it's just like a constant like. And I also was just like one of those people that like had like a tough skin. Like, you're not getting in. I got this all figured out kind of feeling. So like the disappointments, I felt like they weren't like, I didn't ever let them feel so huge, you know? Instead, I was just like, all right, moving on. What's next? So I think I just like kind of kept doing that. Like I became a teacher and I didn't even ever, I was teaching at a school and everyone there had degrees except for me. I was like 19 years old and they offered me a teaching position. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I can't do this. I'm not a teacher. And the woman who hired me said, well, you know more than they do because they were kids.
They're fucking kids.
Yeah, they're kids. And I was like, shit, I can roll with that. I do know a little bit more than they do. I'm smarter than these
dumb kids.
Yeah, fuck that. Just enough. Just give me enough. Just give me enough and I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, did you do it then?
Yeah, I did it for 8.5 years before we started our business. Wow. Yeah, I taught acting to kids.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, so did... did you then feel like you were being more yourself eventually with all of that?
When I was teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got eventually. I mean, for me, I always go through that process. I think a lot of us do. But don't you go through that process where you're like, all right, I'm just going to fake this. All right. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I'm just like faking it as I go. I'm making it up. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm
Isn't just that what everybody's just doing all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Like, we're sitting here talking into mics as though this is what we, this is the important thing to be doing today.
I was sticking to the script here on the table. I wasn't making up any of this. Michael had written this all out.
But even if you're reading a script, you're just still like, how do you read this?
You're just in it.
Here we are. In the back house.
Yeah. Where is it?
You still got to put your emotion into it somehow. You got to figure it out. You got to make it up. So what does it mean to be yourself? Like, you know what I mean? You're just always doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we have that feeling of it, authenticity, that we go to the Disneyland and we're like, this isn't me. What does that really mean?
You go to the Disneyland.
Did I say the Disneyland?
Yeah. You go to the Disneyland. You're like, this isn't me. This is some deep shit talking about with you guys today. I had some worries when I was 16.
You know
16.
What I mean? You say, that's not me.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is me?
So is it?
It takes so long for you to figure that out, though.
Does anyone ever figure it out? So, I mean, I think you figure out what feels natural, as far as you don't have to present a front to the degree that you feel like it's limiting your effectiveness to be present in the moment.
Right. I think I've found that by experiencing lots of things that didn't feel like me, or that I wasn't connecting to.
Yeah, so get into what is it that doesn't feel like you? What's a moment?
So, what doesn't feel like me?
Yeah, you do something and you're like, oh, that's not me. The Disneyland.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, I don't really know if I have really... I mean, let me think about this for a second. I don't really know if there's like really a doesn't feel like me. I think it's like more like a, you know, this, it's like a, you know, this is you. And I mean, it's like moving in that acceptance of this is what it is, and like not judging it compared to like whether it's you or not you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to kind of like, I don't know. I think all these experiences I experience with judgment, but not in a way that I feel bad about them. I have no sadness about those like feelings of like that self-discovery kind of thing. I don't like find it to be like a bad thing. I feel like that gratitude, that feeling of gratitude for those moments, like pushes you into, you know, this.
Yeah. I appreciate you using the buzzword of the titles.
Yeah.
It's good marketing for our breakthrough episode here.
This.
Okay, so for me, I think of like, I used to be a worship leader, Christian worship leader, and sing music in big churches and conferences and things where, I remember one big conference, thousands of people there. We play this song. We're trying to sing about love and like...
Yeah.
Everybody being okay and loving themselves and loving their source. And then the guy that was talking gets right up after us and says, talks about how God hates people.
Jeez.
Unless they believe.
That's harsh.
In his Christian message, you know. It was harsh. And it, we were like, what are we doing here? And I felt like, this is not me. So I'm just trying to dig in. I was just trying to think of a story where I didn't feel like I was like, this isn't me. Yeah. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But
well,
for me, I guess when I think about that moment, I think about, I didn't want to be misunderstood. I felt like if I'm in a context that I felt like I didn't fit in some way, in that how I would act, like singing about God, for instance,
mm-hmm.
was now going to be in this context of this being in the sky who hates people. And now how can I sing about that
mm-hmm.
and not have this inner conflict? But what's at the core of that, other than me needing to be seen as a guy who doesn't support that, which, you know, it's nice not to support that. It's a fucked up thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's funny. I'm just trying to dig into those moments of like, what is it that makes a moment feel like you're being your true self versus your false self? And is it,
you know, I feel like true self moments for me, I feel like body sensations.
Hmm.
Like
good body sensations?
Yeah, like good body sensations. Like let's say like after a night where you've gone somewhere, gone out, and like if I come over here and make music with you guys. And yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It feels so good. Like it, even though it's not what I would consider my skill or talent.
Wrong, but I hear you.
But for me,
maybe for commercial success.
Maybe, of course. I don't know about that. It's where I think I might hit it big right after this podcast. I feel so good. And I feel like, oh my God, that feels like me. Like a free expression.
So like the free body's expression. Not fighting itself.
Right. The body is like going like, ah, you know, when I'm in those other situations and you feel like that is the Disneyland moment, you're just like all fighting it. Do you know what I mean? Like whatever your fear is. My friend Casey and I were talking about this morning. The fear of like, it's like, I'm good at being great. I'm good at being terrible. But when you're in the middle, like, what is that? Like, you're just resonating, you know what I mean? In a space that's like that floaty space where you're not on a high or you're not on a low, you know?
Just kind of that lukewarm middle space.
Yeah, that lukewarm middle space. Does anyone like it there?
There's a Bible verse that says that God spits you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm.
Fuck. That is so, like, to me, it's so crazy that you grew up having to read these things. Not only that, that you've memorized them. And it's like, oh my God, I would die. I've told you this. I'm so did not grow up with these books and concepts that I don't even know, like, because sometimes how people like made it into their cars into school in the morning. I'd be afraid.
Don't okay. Fuck up. So I like that idea of when you feel how we put language to my true self.
Our bodies feel good.
Is more like there's less resistance. There's less constriction in like the right hand fighting against the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, isn't that what we're doing when we're like training for anything? Like if I'm practicing guitar, I'm trying to get my hands to work together. Yes. I'm trying to get my fingers all to work at the same in the same tempo with the same, like as I pluck this string, this other finger does the exact same thing at the exact same time. I'm trying to line up the body. I'm trying to align it. Mm-hmm. A great Olympian or whatever, like has to get the whole body to work in the same
and
current.
And when it aligns, you're like, there it is.
That's like the Zen flow.
Oh my God. It's like when you have like that, that good sex moment, it's the same alignment. You're like, where you just beyond, like you feel so connected to the energy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, there we are. There it is. And it's out of body.
And in body.
And in
body.
Like
it all, like the thoughts and the body and the other person or whatever, or the other people. Or I don't want to be limiting of the listenership here.
But when the tingles come out of your body, I think it is. When I find tingles, I found myself.
Can I use that for the jingle occasionally for this
when
podcast?
When I find tingles, I found myself. Or do you find myself? I think when I first sang it, I was going in between saying myself and me. So it came out, meow self.
Meow self?
Meow self. Back in the tree. Come on now, puss puss. Get on down. I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
I don't know.
Why is the body fighting itself? Not being yourself.
Ah, listeners, just come to my tingle. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of the Zen thing. Is, I mean, when you look at nature, the apple blossom, is that a thing? That's a thing.
Sure.
I used a thing that just sounded like a nice thing to say. I don't picture what an apple blossom is in my head.
They're like a little pink flower, I think. Okay. White flower? Coming off an apple?
Pink, white, red.
Flower off an apple tree?
It's a thing. It's a plant. It grows out of the ground. It doesn't fight itself. It's not like, where are the fucking bananas?
Yeah.
Why can't I grow bananas?
The leaves on this tree are kind of dark. Yuck.
Kind of duck?
Kind of dark. They're kind of dark.
Dark.
To dark. I like light green leaves on my trees. I'm not growing here.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's not what trees do, and they don't suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But we do.
We do.
We're like, oh, I can't be at the Disneyland because I'm not cool enough.
That was a bad story. You can't share that one.
Well, give me a new metaphor to use.
Let's think of a better one.
It's
not
even a metaphor. It's just an example of what we're talking about.
It is. Let's see. What's a better one? What are some other good moments where you're up against the fight?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of said creatively, we all kind of like do that. Like you said, like your struggle, because that's like also your music, but you're trying to get your body. When I have ideas and concepts, I start to feel that way. And then when they start to go awry and kind of shitty,
yeah,
that's when you start to feel like the fight against your creative self.
Yeah. I think about even emotionally, though, like when hard things happen and we don't want to feel those things, the grief, the anger, the sadness.
I kind of like those moments, though.
Yeah. Well, if you go with it,
yeah,
you find the tingle.
Like when my dad died was the best.
Hmm.
That sounds...
No, I mean, it would sound bad to some people. I know exactly what you mean, though.
But it was so beautiful and amazing. And, like, it's one of the coolest things I've ever experienced.
Mm. But it wasn't, like, in a repress, avoid,
no,
ignore, body fighting against itself.
No.
It was going with the craziness of the flow of life, which is death is a part of.
Right. But is that what... I kind of feel like... I'm always trying to learn how to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always trying to, like, find that, like, go with it feeling.
Yeah.
Rather than resist it. Because you can spend your whole life trying to resist everything. And it's, you know, I don't know if that doesn't seem as much fun. It just boils down to fun.
Isn't that where you start feeling like you're not your true self? You feel like you're at war with your own body?
I think that's when you'd like exit strategy go. You know what I mean? When you start feeling that, you gotta like go, no. I remember when Hal and I I got pregnant, but I didn't know I was pregnant. We moved to Seattle and we were gonna move to Seattle and then I found out I was pregnant. So that was like gonna be crazy. I left the place. California is where I grew up. Everyone I knew. We moved to Seattle. I had like, didn't know anybody. I was like, oh my God. And when I went up there, I was like, this is not me. Day one.
So what was fighting?
My body.
But do you know what specifically? Like the culture in some way?
I think it was tribe. Like not having my people that, you know, I connect with, the people that play with me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you the story about Hal not wanting to play? I told it months ago. I think that's part of me. Like, if I don't feel like I can play with people, then you're out.
Yeah.
You're done. I mean,
yeah.
You know?
What are we going to sit around? Stock market's not looking very optimistic these days.
Sure isn't, Jerry.
Thinking probably sell.
Yeah, I'm going to do it after the game.
Quite the weather we're having these days.
Blue out there.
It's blue out there.
Yeah. You know what? Not having your people sucks. You've done that, though. You've moved and left and moved and left. Moving. Why do you keep moving? Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for you.
Here I am.
I'm looking for our people.
Yeah.
And we found them here, I feel like.
I think you did, too.
That doesn't mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't plan on moving again. Because I do feel like we finally found... There's always been, like, some people.
Yeah.
We've got some dear friends in Colorado. But still, even Colorado as a culture...
Yeah.
It's like there was... I loved the earth. I loved some parts about it. But it always felt a little bit like I was... You're right. Like, fighting some part of my way of being.
Yeah.
My body's way of moving through the world had to kind of adjust from its natural way of being to fit in to, which I've never fit in, but tried to swim in a way that feels like, oh, I'm not fighting myself.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The second you get into those rough waters, that's why you got to, like, I think a lot of people don't exit. They don't exit strategy. They don't go, oh my God, this doesn't feel right. I need to make a change. They, like, sit and doesn't feel right for a really long time.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like we always were too slow to... I mean, of course, it's what happened, so that's the perfect thing, but it was... And if we hadn't hung on that long, we wouldn't be where we are now and have learned the lessons.
Right.
But, like, knowing what I know now, I would not have stayed as long in any place that we ever were. As soon as it's like, oh, I can't swim naturally here.
Did you stay out of fear? Did you stay out of not trusting your inner
Probably
beacon
fear.
There? Yeah.
And out of attachment to the, you know, there always were things that we did love.
Yeah.
But there's an element of fear, like, what if we leave this and we can't find this? Or, I mean, LA is super expensive and super big and we don't know many people.
Right. What if the world really is flat? It really is flat. We're going to fall right off.
Yeah.
Isn't that the crazy thing? Like, you actually don't fall off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we go to a lot of places, traveling and stuff. When we're in the band touring, we get to places and I'd be like, you guys know there are other places.
Yeah.
Like some real places that are, you go outside and it just wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And there's like no culture as far as music, food, art, whatever. And not everybody needs that, but some people want it, but are afraid to change their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is scary to, like, to align the flows within your own body, sometimes, like, hurts other people. Like, they don't want you to leave. They don't want you to, you've got your family all in this state, or you've been at this job for 20 years, or you've, whatever it is. And it's like, it's not just about you at that point. You're connected to a world. So to, like, realign and make new decisions kind of shatters other people's hopes and expectations as well. It's tough.
Yeah, screw them. Get the hell out of there. That's what I got to say, people. You know what? I'm talking to you. Do it. Get the hell out of there.
All right, so what about if we end this podcast by picking an instrument on this wall and just kind of flowing for a moment, and we'll be the outro music?
Okay.
Or do you have more things to say that you feel like,
I mean,
you're fighting against your body to stop at this point? How long have we been going?
I don't know. No idea.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Why? Where do you have to go? Do you
I don't have to go anywhere. We're going to go to lunch, right?
Big plans?
Yeah.
It's going to walk to lunch. You haven't even smoked any of this.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, that is hard to pull on.
See, I think it's broken. I have a question for you.
Okay.
So when you're in those moments, when you were in those moments looking out at everything that you saw to be your, you were in your perceived truth there, but knowing that it wasn't you, what were you seeing?
Are you seeing back at the conference in the city? Where are you? What are you referring to?
I'm just saying, like, in the time when you were living and it didn't feel like your authentic self. Mm-hmm. What were you, when you were looking out at it all, what were you seeing? Were you seeing it for what it was, or were you seeing the future of what it is that you want it to be? Like, or I wonder, like, what people visualize or what they do, or that's the moment where we kind of like break through and actually make the change. Like, what were you seeing that made you go, all right?
I think I used to see the world in a way that all the problems were out there, right? So my unhappiness was because as I looked out at the world, it wasn't like it should be. So what can I do to manipulate the world, to control the world, to reshape the world so it's better for me to be happy in? Rather than realizing that my unhappiness with it was actually just my own unhappiness in me and not being like me fighting against myself. Because I had conflicting desires. I had the desire to, you know, when I'm at that conference, for example, I look out there, I'm like, fuck this. We're supposed to be here. And if I didn't, I wasn't self-aware enough at the time of my ego's place in that conflict, but my ego's there wanting to be loved and admired and achieve something in that room where it's like, ooh, that guy was good. We bought a lot of merch and I got some good gigs out of it. Yeah. Now we're a little bit more well known and more loved, right? And so now this guy gets up here and ruins it. What if somebody that was really cool in the audience was like, I like that band, and then they see that guy and they're like, oh, I guess they're just another judgmental Christian band. And I'm like, no, you don't understand me.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's threatening to my ego.
Yeah.
I didn't see that part of it. I just looked out and saw what I didn't like, which is this guy saying this bullshit message and feeling like that was righteous indignation. But there was a real selfish element of that. Selfish, I don't like that word, because I think we're always being selfish on some level, and that's what we do.
You know, that's a lot of energy to put out and take back in. You know what I mean? Like putting yourself in that amount of energy in a space where you're saying, like, come in, like, you know, putting yourself in a way where people can like make these like judgments about you is, you know, and we live in a world now where everybody's like doing it. They're like, go for it. Go ahead. Judge away.
Every tweet. It's like, maybe this is the one.
Right. It's so intense. Like,
this is the podcast that we're going to break through.
Yeah. But it's a lot of connection. You know what I mean? It's a lot of connection. Like, I think it's bizarre at one sense that like everyone is now like, they're hyper focused on the amount of people and things that they're connecting with. But it's so crazy how it's actually like disconnecting people sometimes rather than connecting like that. But that's a lot of energy, because you're digesting everybody's feelings and thoughts. And not only that, like desiring those, that feedback. And
most of us are doing that all the time.
Yeah.
It is social media, but it's also just you go to a party and look at everybody.
Yeah.
Dressed like, they're dressed, is talking that, like is they're that talking. How you walk that's, into a party? That's how I walk in like that, that's with my shoulder swagger. Up like that, my left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, look at that guy.
They're going to want you.
He's probably good at sex. I'm like, sorry, I'm taken.
Inner Lisa. Like that.
But yeah, it is a lot of energy. It's a lot of exhausting.
It's got to be exhausting.
But what I... Now...
Now what do you now?
If
how do
I
would have,
if I was in that experience, I would like to think. I think I would laugh. I know I'd like be like, what a shitty thing to say, and I'd probably get on the microphone and say that was a shitty thing to say. Because now I wouldn't care so much about needing to be liked by that room. Because I'm a little bit more at home, a lot more at home.
Yeah.
In this body, and not thinking that I'm worthless like I used to think.
Did you really think that about yourself?
Absolutely.
You thought you were worthless?
Absolutely. The brand of Christian theology that we were raised with, you are a sinner.
Intense.
At the core, you're broken. Everybody is. It's the curse of man because Adam and Eve ate the fruit. So God, you're worthy of death. The wages of sin is death, and you got to go to hell.
That's just the bottom.
That's the fundamental. You're born into that. That's the situation.
Oh my God. I feel like in my world, it was like, well, we never talked about any of these things, but in my own mind, I feel like it was like, I don't know. I just never thought about any of this ever.
Lucky.
Ever.
You're fortunate.
Ever.
Yeah, it's fucked up, and it's abusive, and it's, I don't think it's just the theology. I'm sure my personality was formed with and by all of that. But for me, then it became my first real direct experience of that shame of like, oh, I am rotten, was sexual. Was when I was like a kid, 5 years old or something like that, was in this room. I just told this on the Liturgies podcast as well, and it's in my book. But with this girl, and she wanted to kiss, and I wanted to see with her clothes off. We got caught, and it was like, from seeing the parents' reaction, I did a bad thing, and I guess I'm rotten. Like, I'm a pervert. My curiosity is not to be trusted. And so that was at the center of the first 30 years of my life.
Aww. I mean, all kids got caught doing that. Most of them.
Yeah, but it was the theology thing amplified.
No, it totally did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm fine now.
Are you sure about that? Work in progress. WIP. I'm fine now. WIP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. Well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's traces of that still in my body.
Yeah. But. But I think you're doing a pretty good job at getting into this moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. And letting go of that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a...
wrapping yourself in a little blanket of love.
Wrapping it in the tingle.
Burrito.
The burrito that brings the tingle to my dingle.
Ding, ding, ling, 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 ling. Turn the page. You guys got to do a little like record like that. Next book.
You and I do. Our band or current resident. Ding, ding,
ding. By the way,
that was just the announcement. That was the world announcement of our band right there.
Oh, current resident.
Or current resident.
I do want to get to the end where we play a piece, but also I wanted to tell you I started reading your book.
You did.
I did. Don't ask me too many questions because I've only just started. What's that list? What is that list you're pulling out of your pocket, Michael? He has pre-written questions in case anyone asks him about his book. Wow, that's amazing.
Could you just read this real quick? Michael's new book, This, Becoming Free, is the best thing I've ever read.
Michael, how does it feel to be a genius?
I've heard Michael is good at sex.
Michael took his erect penis, which was 12 feet long, out of... Whoa. Lisa. Such a different woman to me now. Could you imagine? Oh my God.
You would just die. All parties would die.
It just, that seems like a crazy, like, you know, there's this Japanese film called Iron Man. Is that what? No. Is that what it's called?
That's Robert Downey Jr.?
Not Iron Man. It's shit. Something like that. But just look it up. There's a huge like...
It's like the Revengers.
It is. I think it actually might be called Iron Man, or maybe it's Metal Guy or something. But he slowly starts... It's like this character, and he slowly starts turning into metal. And at the end, he has like this metal corkscrew penis. And it's like... What? Yeah.
I love the Japanese culture.
So good.
You know, because that made it through a boardroom.
Yeah. That was probably like, hands down, no questions asked. We're making this. Done. Yeah.
How are we doing? I think the weed's kicking in and we're not quite as coherent as we were at the beginning.
There's probably a better show.
It probably is. Yeah, this is probably the
best
part. Way
better show. Like, oh, you know, that's what I was going to say about your book, This, out now.
This got me through my erectile dysfunction.
This. I like a lot how... I like a lot. I like a lot when I read your book. When I'm reading it, I like a lot.
I many enjoy the page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, the beginning right now is like just like this, you know, wild, like it just feels like a wild, like chain of, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? It's the
Iron Man.
No. Oh, God. It's bigger than a bread box, smaller than a birdhouse. What is it I'm trying to say? It's the stream of consciousness. God damn it. Fuck. God, that's it. I feel now my body is released and it's connected to me and myself.
You back to the tingle?
Well, you know, I don't know, like the difference between being connected to me and not being connected to me, like the first half of this podcast, like, but this is so much better. This is really good.
Mm.
Sometimes I think it just takes a while for people just to settle into their this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the hard part.
It is hard.
Everyone's just like a little like kettle ready to pop popcorn. But it's, you know, to just like take a breath and settle is, I think, what everyone needs to do.
It's hard. It's like old conditioning. We need, on some level, we need to prefer that. We need to prefer having food to not having food, otherwise we couldn't survive.
You'll never change.
Yeah. You need to prefer not living in Podunk. I didn't want to name any towns.
Podunk.
Podunk.podunk/biz.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently when I get high, Mayor I just say
slash biz.
Silly website addresses.
Podunk. Wait, is that the word? Podunk? It sounds very...
podunk.bfe/business.
Podunkadunk.
Podunkadunk should be a song, a hit song.
Oh my God.
Can we write it for our current resident?
Let's do it.
Right
now.
Okay. I was going to have a thought, but I think that's more important. No, I think it's more important.
Well, now I'm...
It doesn't matter. I mean, what you said it already.
Oh my God. I'm going to cut you off because I have a good story for you.
Great.
Fuck. I hung out with an astronaut. Have you ever done that?
No.
I think you and Mike would benefit greatly from that moment.
Yeah. Mike would probably kill a man to hang out with an astronaut.
Oh my God. I'll get you in contact. Okay. So my friend works Val. She works on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And they're done. Their show is done.
Oh, wow.
I've been her like...
I said that in that tone because I know Val, not because I care about the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh. I love that show. Show's over. I've been like her plus one to all of her like parties and rap parties and all these things. So I was familiar with all these people's faces, and we're at this party. She introduces me at this rap party for the show. Did I cover that? To this guy, she said, "You got to meet him. He's a real astronaut." I'm like, amazing. I forget his name, but we can look that up later. Insert name. He was super interesting. And one of the things I asked him, which I said to him, when you're in space and when you're up there and you're looking down, I said, do you feel distant from us? Or do we all still feel connected?
Mm-hmm.
And he like looked at me like that was like a...
Like stupid idiot.
Well, no. God, but now I know what you feel about the question.
No, I thought that's where your facial expression was going. Like you kind of folded your arms.
No, he was kind of like, that's a good question. Stupid idiot.
I wasn't calling you a stupid idiot.
He did. Michael Gunger is not
or maybe
a very nice
he was
person.
He the stupid idiot and he didn't know how to answer you.
No, not at all.
Oh.
No, but he was like, it's so crazy to because I think that's a crazy thought for me personally.
Oh, that's a great question.
If you're out in space, mm-hmm. imagine you out there in space, if you can, and you see your planet imagine what it feels like looking at the moon, but you're the only, from Earth, but imagine you're the only person there.
Yeah. Yeah, do you feel lonely
or
connected?
Do you feel like you're
the
only person there? Or do you feel like we're all there with you?
I mean, I think doesn't it come down to who you're identified as in that moment? If you're just that body, being apart from everybody else, I imagine you would feel more lonely, more disconnected. But if you identify as the cosmos,
mm-hmm.
or you're looking at yourself, the Earth, realizing the Earth got to finally go look at itself. So that's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? The Earth has only got to look at itself.
Yeah.
A handful of times with actual eyes up there.
Through your eyes when you're floating in space?
Because you're the Earth. Yeah. The Earth. You came out of the Earth.
Yeah. I love this question. I like this feeling. So I think...
What did he say?
His authentic self, I was wondering who it was going to be up there. Like, that's what I think would be a true good test. If you want to test your authentic self.
That's the true test.
You got to go float in space. Say? So he said a little bit of both. You know, he said he definitely had moments where he felt alone. He said, but more than anything, I still felt completely and totally connected. And I said, that's amazing that you can feel that way. Because there's almost a part of me that the best me, like my other me, who's mm-hmm. like really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She's so good. She can blow smoke rings. If she was here, that's what she'd be doing. But she's busy doing all kinds of amazing things. Do you have a best you? I have like the best me.
The best me
does all these great things.
The best me is made of metal and has a 12-foot spirally erection.
The best me can like garden, blow smoke rings. She's traveled all over the world. She's gorgeous. She's like great dinner guest. She can cook like nobody's business. Oh, no, wait. I'm just describing me. Hold on. shit. The best me. The other me. All right. No, but the best me would be in space, and she would be like, like she would feel so connected to everybody, and she'd just be like, tingle, ring, ding, 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 la. I don't know. It's like I would be like, just overcome me, and I'd be like, you'd get up there and it'd just be like, have I described it enough in sounds?
I feel sad for the listeners that didn't get to see the hand motions with the sounds.
Yeah.
It was probably what you would expect. A lot of wide open arms, jazz hands.
In my world, everything would be what it wouldn't. And everything it wouldn't, it would. Or whatever Alice says.
Is that what she says?
She says something like that, you know. In my world, everything that it isn't, it would. And everything it wouldn't, it is. What? That's no. The,
well,
or whatever,
whatever
it is.
You're it's saying is like...
The first time I said it.
That's what the ego says.
Yeah.
That's the that.
Have you ever read Alice in Wonderland?
No.
Oh, shit. We also have a book club, so we're going to add it to our list.
I've watched the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to read the book. It's, I assume, like there's so many drug things in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They eat
like
mushrooms.
They eat mushrooms.
Yeah. The caterpillar who's basically
smoking
the,
weed.
Yeah, yeah. He's the, like the one of the gurus. Who are you? Who are you? And he blows the most amazing smoke rings. I'm also the caterpillar. I guess that's who I'd be. But I'm just a little girl. I'm not a weed. The flowers tell her that she's a weed. Ew, there's a weed in our garden. Yeah. Yeah, and a golden afternoon.
Yeah. Even that's I mean, we're kind of starting to have a golden afternoon here.
Fucking beautiful. Where's that caterpillar? Yeah, I don't even remember what I was talking about, but it was really good.
The astronaut.
Oh, yeah. Like, so, yeah, like, that's how I'd feel. That's what I'd hope to feel. But I think I'd get up there and I'd be really scared.
That what? That you'll die?
Fuck, what am I really scared of? Is it that I'm going to die? No, but it's like that I'm not able to experience it with someone, because somehow, some way, when I look into your eyes, it makes, when I see your actual eyes, but I mean, if I couldn't see anymore, I wonder, then I'd pick it up somewhere else, I guess. The best me knows how to do this, but I can see me when I'm looking in your eyes. Mm-hmm. So if I was up there and I couldn't see another pair of eyes or feel another or just look and know that, you know, I think I'd feel a little bit scared, because I love that feeling.
That connection.
Connection.
Human connection.
Human connection. That gives me tingles. So hot.
Fantastic.
The best show you've ever done, by the way. So, you're welcome.
Thank you. It's been pretty great. Yeah. Do you want to tell anybody about where they can find anything that you do or make?
No,
or?
Not really.
Okay. Should we play instruments?
Yeah.
What are you going to pick?
This? I mean, I don't know. This one looks so, banjo is so cool, but I don't know how to play a banjo.
Do you know how to play any of these things?
No, actually. I don't. But, you know, we've already discussed it.
That's why don't you have tell me what to play, too?
God. Do you have multiple things?
Or yeah, one? And I've got things in the other room, too.
Okay, you want me to
see? Gary, the computer shut off while we were recording.
That's okay.
And I think we missed a lot of good stuff, including two musical pieces. Let's say they were amazing.
They were so good. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes you got to let those go. That's when I say, like,
that was true.
That was a jam. Even though, let's be honest, though, when they're not good, though, you have to just say, that's a jam, whatever. Like, if you judge it too harshly, then you're just never going to want to do it or make it again. It's like Arlo. I'll be like, just try it. She's like too worried about it being good or being something rather than it just being this.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to just like, that's what it is.
Get your shit together, Arlo.
It's just a jam. What the fuck? You like eight years on this planet? You're way closer to the source than me. You better.
Yeah.
What do you come in with some knowledge?
You said some good stuff, but now I'm a little too stoned to remember what she said.
Yeah, well, you think I remember? Good luck trying that.
I think maybe the last 30 minutes, it's literally been 30 minutes.
Has been.
That we didn't know that we weren't recording.
We've only been in here for about 3 minutes. So everything else that you just experienced was like Hyperloop. We got a little stuck in. So, good thing you're back now.
Okay. So what's the 60 minutes of recording we have? That's just a dream.
I don't know. Or maybe we're in the dream now.
Yeah, okay.
Because literally, I was saying that to Arlie the other day. She was like tripping out on dreams. And I'm like, well, who's to say that that's not it?
Yeah.
So, sure,
yeah, that you're not awake then, dreaming.
You know what's weird is that when I dream, I'm so smart, and I'll be somewhere having a conversation with somebody. Like, let's say we're talking about science, which, you know, in this plane, I'm not going to know that much about. But when I'm dreaming, I'm saying these words and this shit just like flowing right in my mouth. I mean, my vocabulary is decent. I wouldn't call it extraordinary by any means at all. I mean, that was a big word for me. So, but when I dream, I'm like,
yeah, you're just like
full of
put
it.
The nebules into the Glargon.
Yeah.
And the Glorinians will interact as a catalyst.
Yeah. Like in a dinner conversation. You know,
and it's like, oh wow.
Yeah. Or like I can read something and like, I'll tell you what, I can't read and then tell somebody something like instantly. They're like, what'd you just read? And I'm like, I don't know. So like there's, I'm a terrible storyteller sometimes. And then I'm like, Hal, you read it. What did it say? And then he'll be like, well, you know, it's said that in Tokyo there was a discovery found in the mountains of Alberton. And the amazing crystal formations that they've seen were a weird pH, or whatever it is. Like, that didn't even sound that smart and good, but I'm just going to assume a lot of you are dummies and you think that's great. Anyway. My brain knows cool shit. So I think it's awesome because I'm retaining all this information, obviously, in life. Like, people are saying something, and I'm going to look at, like, a, what is it called? The, not a geology chart. That's, like, rocks and shit. But when you're looking at elements, the elements.
Yeah, the periodic table of elements.
Periodic table. Yeah. I just have it. I know it by heart in my mind, and I dream. Yeah. So if I am fortunate enough to see any of you in my dreams, then you know how good I am in this plane.
In this plane, I don't know much about science. It's a really great moment. Yeah. I would, if I had, if this moment was selling a T-shirt, if this podcast
that's
was
what
selling
it would
a T-shirt, that's the one I think I put on there.
That's a great T-shirt. So if you guys go to Michael's website, you can buy the T-shirt. $49.99. It's made with a Pima cotton. Super soft. Llama soft. Llamas are weird little animals, aren't they? They're like, I don't even know. They're so cute, but I think they spit on you and shit, like camels. I think those two must be related.
Llama soft. No, now Llama Soft would be the T-shirt.
Llama Soft? Maybe you should put that on your undies.
Llama Soft, undies.
Like, I don't know if I want a guy to come to my, like, a guy's underwear brand being Llama Soft.
Really? Maybe. You want a guy wearing, like, tough denim underwear?
Well, no, I mean, it also makes me think of a soft winky.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something, nothing wrong with a soft winky. I've never referred to a weenus as a winky.
A weenus? A weenus is the thing on your elbow.
Oh, that really is. It I think really you were is. The one that taught me that.
Really? I'm a weenus instructor around the world.
Just loose skin. You're into
loose
it.
Skin on your elbow is called a weenus, if you didn't know that. As a weenus instructor, I feel it's my obligation to convey that information to you. Are you going to sing here?
Give me a topic.
Okay.
The topic. So much better. Just give me a topic to sing about.
The topic is being a llama but wishing you were a goat.
Oh, okay. Stuck in here, looking out there. Stuck in here, looking out there. I know it's different everywhere, but I'm stuck in here. Looking out there, stuck in here,
stuck in here.
Looking out there,
looking out there,
stuck in here,
stuck in here.
My ears are big,
my ears are big.
They ears can hear,
my ears can hear.
All the kids are laughing,
all the kids are laughing.
Out there, stuck in here,
stuck in here,
looking out there,
looking out there.
I'm stuck in here.
I wish I was a deer.
Looking out there.
Maybe a bear.
It's like talk singing.
It's beautiful.
If I tried singing, it would sound so different. What? How would you give me something? What would the thing be?
The chorus?
Yeah, like whatever the tone is, because I'm tone deaf. Go.
I'm not a goat. I wanna be a goat. I'm not a goat. I'm a llama.
Okay.
Not a horse or a goat. But I got a soft coat. A really soft coat.
A really soft coat.